Good evening. Glad to see everyone back with us tonight. Hope you've had a good afternoon. We're ready once again to study together from God's Word. I forgot to mention this morning, but please continue to remember our special series that we're going to be doing on Sunday mornings in April on what it truly means to be a Christian. And please be getting word out about that and inviting people that might be interested in that. And I hope that we might be able to use that as a means of reaching out and sparking interest within those of the community who might so desire. So that will be every Sunday in April. In the mornings, we'll be discussing a different avenue of that general theme. I imagine if I were to ask mostly anybody, or pretty much everybody here, if you would like to be as effective in your efforts as a Christian in reaching the lost, in teaching and instructing them in accordance to God's Word, if you would like to be as effective in that as someone, for instance, like Paul, that everyone would answer in the affirmative. Because we recognize that the Scriptures bear out Paul to have been, outside of Jesus, likely one of the greatest, if not the greatest, soul winner that has ever existed in the history of this world. And as you read and study through his life and his work and certain events that transpired in his life, I believe that you see the attributes that can be attributed to him being done so mainly from the standpoint of his knowledge of Scripture. Now, I understand from the outset that Paul was an apostle, one who had the opportunity to speak by means of inspiration on occasion. And yet, even though he had that ability, knowing Paul as we do, I can't help but know that Paul did not merely look upon his ability to speak by inspiration as an excuse to not further his knowledge in the Scriptures through another avenue. And that would be the same avenue as is required of you and I, and that is a study of the Scriptures. You are well familiar with the occasion in which Paul wrote to Timothy and encouraged him to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I can only imagine being in Timothy's shoes, having the opportunity to have not only been personally instructed and converted by Paul, but to have him as a very close and trusted mentor. And here, Paul, it seems to be the case that in these two epistles he writes to Timothy, is providing him with some very practical wisdom that he had learned through his experience as a preacher of the gospel and as a Christian in that time setting, that would allow Timothy to better himself in both of those areas as a preacher of the gospel and as a Christian in his own time setting. And in our desire to be just as effective as Paul, we recognize then it's going to require something of us, meaning that we're going to have to be as prepared as Paul. How is it that we become as prepared as Paul in the anticipation of becoming as effective as Paul in Christian service? From 2 Timothy 2:15 tonight, I want to very quickly notice three particular ideas about Bible study that I think would be of the utmost benefit to you and I as we seek to deepen our knowledge and to improve our understanding and to also give us a greater grasp and ability to share with others the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as you look at 2 Timothy 2:15, I think one piece of advice that Paul gives to Timothy is that as Christians, our study should be personal. Notice again that in that verse that Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, where's the subject of that verse, of that sentence? Well, that's understood. You remember that old rule of you understood in English? Well, that's exactly what we find in verse 15. When Timothy would read this verse to him, the you was understood. And so Paul was literally saying, Timothy, you should study. You should do it in a personal setting and through the mindset of wanting to make it of personal benefit, which is what he would go on to say. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Is that the benefit that's going to be received? Yes. Who's going to receive the benefit? Him personally. But it was only going to come through the avenue of personal study. Our primary concern in life as children of God is to be what God wants us to be. That is foremost and central to what we want to accomplish. Now, are there other things? Sure. But central is that fact. I want to be what it is that God wants me to be. How is that possible? Well, let God tell me Himself. And you and I know that the avenue by which He tells us what He wants us to be is through His Word. And I'm only going to know it if I read it and study it and apply it to my life. And so there is absolutely no benefit to either myself or to anyone else for that matter if I do not first prepare my own soul and my own life through the avenue of personal Bible study. Now, what that means is that we can be, 1 Peter 3:15, protectors of the faith, those who are ready to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason of the hope that is within us, with meekness and fear. It means we can be protectors of the faith. It means that we can, 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26, correct others with the truth. But if we fail to accept and apply truth personally, then what is the reality? Well, the reality is that we're no better than those Pharisees to whom Jesus would refer as hypocrites, Matthew 7, 1-5. You see, it's not just about what we can do for others or in the mindsets of some to others with God's Word. It's what first can I do to me and for me with God's Word, so that then I can do for others in the same. And so as I approach the Scriptures, if I am going to seek to be as effective as Paul, thereby being as prepared as Paul, I must first look at the Scriptures through my own eyes before I can ever attempt to look at them through the eyes of another. Number two, not only does Paul tell Timothy that his study of the Scriptures needs to be personal, but I think he goes on in that verse and states that it needs to be practical as well. Notice again when he said to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. At what point are we to arrive in our study? What is our intention in studying the Bible? Someone made a very good point in stating that it's interesting that nowhere in Scripture do you find the words intellectual, scholar, or scholarship in any context, but especially as it relates to Bible study. But what the Scriptures do abundantly mention are the words do or doer, work, and as we find in 2 Timothy 2:15, workman. What is my intention in studying the Bible? Is it to merely become an intellectual? Is it to be recognized as a great scholar of Scripture? Or is it to better prepare myself for service? I think as we seek to study the Scriptures, and we do so in a practical setting, we find Paul telling Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Study to improve one's capability to serve. Our study of the Bible must be much more than a mere intellectual pursuit. Now, does that mean it's wrong to study the Bible through the means or the avenue of intellectual pursuit? Not necessarily, in its proper setting. But what we're saying is there has to be much more in my pursuit of Bible knowledge than merely that which is intellectual. It needs to foremost be that which is practical, or as someone put it, it's to be more than intellectual pursuit, it's to be more of a vocational pursuit. And I think that's exactly right. And if we want to be what God wants us to be, it's going to come through the means of learning through study. Then number three, I think as Paul gives this very practical and wise advice to Timothy, he makes this point as well that our study of the Scriptures should be professional. Now, what we mean by that is this last statement in verse 15. To study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What is the opposite of approaching anything in a professional manner? Well, it's approaching it in an amateurish manner. And in what manner would we like to approach our study and knowledge of the Bible? Through the means of an amateur or in a professional means? Well, I think that we would agree, as it applies to the context, we would want to do so by means of professionalism. Doing what is right and correct rather than doing that which is childish and immature. Every topic, every theme, or every text that we study must be studied in its proper context. If we're studying from the Old Testament, we need to be looking for principles to apply, Romans 15:4. We need to be looking for examples to motivate us, 1 Corinthians 10:11. If we're studying the New Testament, we should be paying very careful attention to the context, drawing truth out of Scripture rather than reading truth into Scripture. In the theological world, there's two terms. One is exegesis. One is eisegesis. You might have heard of those terms. And I've always been interested in the use of those terms as it applies to Bible study. The word exegesis literally means to draw out of Scriptures what God has put in. The word eisegesis means to read into Scripture what God hasn't provided, but what you want to see. We, from that standpoint, should be exegetes of Scripture, trying to draw truth out that's already there rather than reading in what isn't. And I think you find Jesus, through John, the writer, stating that very explicitly in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. And what's the great importance in that fact? The great importance is the fact that one day when I stand before Jesus at the judgment bar and the books are opened by which I'm going to be held accountable, what are the books that are going to be opened? It's going to be the books of the Bible. God's standard, His law, His authority by which I have been expected to live, and I'm going to be judged by what's written here. Now, if I read truth into, or not read truth, but if I read something into Scripture that's not really there, and I base the substance of my life and my soul upon it, guess what? When I stand before Christ and He holds me accountable, it's not going to be by what I read into Scripture. It's going to be by what He has provided in Scripture that I should have drawn out. It's in that context or in that setting that we mean in our study of the Bible, we should be professionals. We should look at it in its context, recognizing the purpose God intended, the truth that God provided, and accept only that and that alone. And if we are truly concerned with the approval of God, as Paul makes reference, then we are going to take very careful heed to the manner in which we study, concluding only those things that are warranted by the evidence. And that's the only reasonable avenue in any other area of life? Is it reasonable in any... Say, for instance, you have a court case. You have the jury over here whose job it is to listen to the evidence that is provided by both the defense and the prosecution, and to, with objective minds, sort it all out and come to a conclusion. What is expected? If you were the one that was on trial, what would you expect of that jury? To conclude only that which the evidence warrants. And if they were to conclude anything outside of what the evidence were to warrant, then you would be most upset, I would imagine. How do you think God feels when we come to conclusions not warranted by scriptural evidence? Do you believe He is pleased with such or unhappy? And we know that He is unhappy. And so we, as we approach our study of the Scriptures, need to be professional, rightly dividing the word of truth, which I might add, by Paul's very statement of that necessity, means that we can wrongly divide the word of truth, contrary to popular opinion. And so if we are going to have the greatest impact that we can upon the world as we want, then I think it's always good for us to go back and to look at others who have had an impact. People like Paul. How did he do it? Well, he was someone who prepared himself. He was someone who knew the Scriptures, someone who loved the Scriptures, and someone who taught the Scriptures. And if we're going to have any sort of impact, then we need to do the same. Prepare ourselves, love the Scriptures, and on every chance and occasion that we can, teach them to others. That is our task, that is our hope, and that should definitely be our commitment in our lives as Christians. And so let us commit ourselves every day to trying to make that impact, but it's only going to come through that proper preparation. Tonight it might be the case that you are here and one who is not ready to meet the Lord in judgment. You know that standing before that judgment bar is going to be a time of great trepidation and fear. It's going to be a time in which you know you are going to hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Why? Because your life has not been the reflection of God's expectation. If that's the case, then you know you have the opportunity tonight, as always, to come in response to heaven's invitation, having heard the Word of God and believing Jesus to be God's Son, that upon your repentance from sin, confession of your faith, that you might be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, whereby you might have the hope of heaven and the great blessings that God provides. Or if you're a child of God who has erred from the faith and is in need of restoring your soul back to faithful service, we hope that through repentance, confession, and prayer, you would come tonight doing what is necessary to once again find a rightful and righteous stand with God. Tonight, if you are subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we hope that you'll come while together we stand and sing.